the recent experience of the Church in the two synod assemblies on the family has shown at once the enduring importance of marriage as a social institution, the bedrock and cornerstone of society, and the crisis facing societies in which the sense of marriage as a permanent conjugal union is threatened and at risk of being lost. The path to marriage, daring to say, "I will through faith," offers essential guidelines emphasizing those aspects of marriage which most need to be stressed. At the same time, it sets out to use practical questions as a stimulus for further reflection. One of the co-authors of the book, Monsignor Marcus Graulich, who currently serves as the Undersecretary of the Pontifical Council for the Interpretation of Legislative Texts, told us the first step in helping couples live married life successfully is to bring them into deeper understanding of what they are doing in contracting marriage.
I was working as a rotel auditor before I became undersecretary. And before that, I was a judge in the Vicariate of Rome. And I always had to deal with marriages that were broken. And so talking with Professor Weimann, who is a dogmatician and a bioethic professor, we thought about doing something to prevent marriage failure. And how could you prevent marriage failure if not with a good preparation? Because oftentimes in the files that I read about broken marriages, I had the impression that the couples didn't know what they were doing. They were not well prepared to the step they were undertaking with marriage. And so we thought about writing a book about marriage preparation. What is marriage all about? What are you promising one another if you meet your spouse in front of the altar in the church and say, "I take thou as my spouse forever, till death does us part"? What does that mean? What does all those things mean? What do all those things mean that you promise one another when the priest is asking you, "Are you willing to?" And then several questions occur.
One of the things that comes up very often, and well-meaning Catholics will say that marriage is a sacrament. It's really, we should speak of holy matrimony. And I suppose that's true as far as it goes. But really the important thing, and what I see you driving at, is that marriage is a natural social institution. It's a public, and the promises that you were talking about, these are public promises, mm-hmm. things that people say before God and man.
Yeah.
And at bottom, the reason we talk about marriage being the cornerstone of society is because it's the one place in which two persons come together and make promises to one another. We're giving and keeping our word, which if people are incapable of doing that, society has no chance mm-hmm. to survive, let alone to thrive. Is there an awareness not just of what the promises are, but of why giving and keeping one's word is important?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that needs to be recovered?
Yes, it must absolutely be recovered. For in our society, we live in short-term promises, if we promise at all. We live in short-term relationships. We live in short-term things. It's all, I use it and then I throw it away, as the Pope says it, the società dello scarto, no? The throwaway society where you use things easily. And we wanted to create an awareness, what are you promising there, and underline the fact that those promises that you give to your spouse are what people always wanted. When people say one to another, "I love you," they want eternity. They don't want it to be for a night or for a week. They want to have it forever. And so the promises that you give one another in the marriage vows are promises naturally linked to human being. They want belonging. They want to have a future which is created by the children. They want love forever. And so we have to find again the significance of the marriage promises, which are also natural. For if you see how Jesus acted, he did not create or institute the sacrament of marriage as he created the Eucharist, as he invented baptism and so on. But he took that what was present and said, this was the original meaning. Man and woman were created and they were made to come together, to be one flesh, to have children and to continue creation.
This is an interesting point as well, because the language that the church uses to talk about what mm-hmm. our Lord did is very specific and technical. We hear the church teach us that our Lord elevated marriage to the dignity of a sacrament.
Yeah.
That's not just flowery language. That's very precise technical language, because he didn't change the substance of the institution at all, did he?
No. He didn't. He instituted, for example, the Eucharist. That was never done before. But he only accepted marriage as it was, but he brought it back to its original meaning for some society influences, some usage, some customs of the Jewish society had changed the original significance. And he brought back to the original significance in creation what marriage means.
In fact, we look at the sacraments. Mm-hmm. Some sacraments leave indelible marks. Some, we're thinking of baptism, holy orders.
Yeah.
Some sacraments are food for the way. The Eucharist is a foretaste of what we will have in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme unction, last rites, is a sacrament that prepares us to exchange time for eternity and meet our Maker. And we do have the sign of it on us when we go. But marriage is till death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
It is an earthly affair one way or the other. We are neither married nor given in marriage in heaven. So what does it do for us?
Yeah, it helps us to live. It helps us to go our way in the society that we have, to go it together, and to divide and the responsibilities, the burdens of life. The early church fathers discussed it very much, if marriage is lasting forever, also in heaven. That was why they prohibited at the beginning that a widow could re-enter new marriage. But then they said, no, it's a thing that's on earth, and then we will see what heaven is going about. It's going to be about in marriage.
Just a last question for you. Who's this book for?
Oh, it's for several people. It's for priests who prepare couples to marriage to have a guide. And it's also for the couples themselves. That's why at the end of every chapter we put some questions. This is from our experience of preparing married couples to marriage. We often encountered couples who thought that everything was already settled and done. They thought, what I think about having children is what my spouse is thinking. And then talking about those things, they discovered, oh, that's not the case. And so the couple can ask themselves the question and then talk about it, and then maybe talk about it with a priest or with another person. So it's also for couples that are preparing, for the priests that are helping them to prepare. And we have the experience from that, what's coming back from the readers, that also married couples enjoy it, to revisit the way that they are living the marriage.
Thank you so much for coming in to see us.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.